Groundhog's Day, Candlemas, the midwinter. We're going to be talking about time and calendars. It's February 2nd, 2023. This is Next Step number 764.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the Next Step with Father Vazquez. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazquez brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, we have been waiting all year long, and now is the moment. Today is Groundhog Day, and we have assembled to find out what happened. Did the groundhog see his shadow? That's the big question. Happy Groundhog Day, happy Candlemas, happy midwinter, whatever tradition you're following. It's a happy day, I hope, for you. Unless you're out on the East Coast where Punxsutawney Phil happened to be. It is freezing over there. I know tomorrow, Friday, it's going to be below, with the wind chill factor, below zero temperatures over there. This is on the East Coast of the United States. But us being here in California, not only do we get the beautiful sun, but we also happen to be in the last of the time zones. So that what happens in Philadelphia, we get to know about a little bit later at a decent hour. Am I confusing you? Let me read right out of the almanac for today, okay? Because the wording is just perfect. Did Groundhog See His Shadow, 2023? Early this morning, February 2nd, 2023, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, sage of sages, weather prognosticator extraordinary, emerged from his burrow with a little help from his friends and handlers to make his much-anticipated forecast. As we all waited on bated breath, Phil took a look around and spotted the villain, his shadow. According to folklore, no matter how you measure, it's six more weeks of winter weather. Don't rush to start planting those fields, for the groundhog predicts snow and frost to continue well into spring this year. There you go. That's from the almanac. I will have a link on today's show notes so you can read the entire thing. There's a nice picture, too, with Punxsutawney Phil. So apparently he sees a shadow. If he didn't, it would mean that it would be six more weeks and winter would be over. It'd be a nicer winter, I guess. More, a little bit more sun. But since he sees a shadow, which I don't understand, because doesn't it take a sun to produce that shadow? Anyway, I don't understand the physics in this one, nor do I want to. All I want to do is report that it says a few more weeks of cold, cold weather. And certainly it's the case, like I said, back in the East Coast. Very frigid, cold weather. I particularly look to East Coast weather daily now that I have two nieces that live there, one in New York and one in Boston. And if you happen to be a fan of Wheel of Fortune, which I am, I love watching that show, and never get enough times to watch it, but I love to yell out and call out those words. But if you happen to be watching Wheel of Fortune tomorrow night, Friday evening, my older niece, Madeline, is going to be a contestant on there. And it's kind of interesting because they don't even let us know how she did. The family is under strict rules. This is, I don't know who's going to enforce this, but under strict rules that you cannot disclose what you won on the show. So we are waiting, all of us on bated breath, we are waiting to watch the show tomorrow evening. So that's going to be exciting. Anyway, Wheel of Fortune, there's a shameless plug for my dear, dear, dear niece who's, I don't know, dealing with the cold, I would imagine. I don't know how anybody from California could do it over there, but apparently a lot of people do, and every time I see them on break, they seem to love it all. Anyway, today I'm going to talk about a little bit about time, because with the groundhog coming out, it's kind of an interesting phenomena that there are these certain time, rhythms of time, that we as humans have kind of like lost control of. And I think they're built into the system, and we're just not attuned to this. I think as humans, we've just kind of like lost a lot of the natural elements that govern our life. I know that there's a big there's a big discussion about the use of cosmetics, for instance, especially our sense of smell, which is so alert. I mean, we are appalled at foul smells, and yet those smells, whether foul or not, they governed a lot of the cycles of our life, including the rhythms of our procreation periods and so on and so on. But we cover it up, don't we? And we call it under being civilized. And let me say right off the bat, I'm very thankful for that. No, I don't handle those kind of things too well. But we're very thankful that there are those things. But it has dulled our senses to the realities of how we deal with life, how we get through life. We have these systems, Punxsutawney Phil coming up every year on February 2nd, and looking at the shadow is just a reminder. He doesn't come out, as it said in the almanac, it said with his handlers were pulling him out. You know, it's not that he does, it's just that it's a marking point in time. There is, this is the midwinter, February 2nd. And the way you calculate it is 40 days after Christmas. Today happens to be the 40th day after December 25th. In the Armenian tradition, we calculate it 40 days after January 6th. And so our quote-unquote Groundhog Day or midwinter feast, what we call Derendes, the presentation of the Lord, recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, 40 days. It was not only for Jesus to come into the temple, but it was a rite of purification. And again, we go to these very, very natural means by which we dealt with our lives in the past. It said, for the rite of purification. Well, whose purification was that? It was Mary's. She had just gone through childbirth, and here it was 40 days later, they would take the woman to the temple, and there was a rite of purification. In other words, that now things are, you know, without getting too graphic about it, you know, your hormones have gone all this way and that way, and now it's time to just bring them down. Let's realize that this is a beautiful time of childbirth where the man, as a husband, has to be aware of what's going on, and that needs to be said too. It wasn't just like Mary just took off. What does the scripture say? Joseph and Mary went into the temple for the rite of purification. And these were the ways that societies dealt with their lives. If you look at the Armenian church, not only the Armenian church, let me say the traditional churches, we have calendars and cycles of events. And we go from Christmas to Easter. Those of you who have followed many of the teachings that I have, including on this podcast, we talk a lot about the different cycles of our lives, whether it be the Advent season, the Lenten season coming up. It's not just by accident. It's not just for the sake of pleasing God, as many people think. This is why I go to church, to please God. Don't do it to please God, you know. Do it to please yourself. It's really a way of keeping aligned, keeping focused. And, you know, before we had the Apple Watch that kept our rhythms and our cycles in order, we had things like this. We had what was called calendars of life, cycles of life. And when you open up the scriptures and you start looking at the way people reacted at different times, you see that it is in tune with the cycles of nature. And the four main ones, right? Summer, winter, fall, and spring. You know, you've got four seasons. Inside of that four seasons, you had these periods called months. Now, we have gone on to a calendar that divides those months, if you ask me, into weird sections. I still don't understand why we get shortchanged in February. But anyway, there's a reason to the madness, I'm sure. But it just so happened that last week was the New Year, the Lunar New Year, often called the Chinese New Year. The Lunar New Year is based on the calendar that the moon presents. And you look at what the moon has, 28 days and a little change, right? And you can basically predict the rise and the setting of the moon to infinity. And so they do. So you have almanacs. So you have, I mean, there is, in the Armenian church, there is the definitive work on the divine liturgy that was done in 1950 by Archbishop Diran Nersoyan. You know why I like this book? For many, many reasons. But one of the things that it has, and as a kid, I used to reference it. There was one page which had the dates of Easter into the 21st century. And so you had an opportunity to look in advance and see, oh, when is Easter going to fall? For instance, I'm an April baby. When is it going to fall on my birthday? Or when is Easter going to be in March as opposed to April? Then you start looking into the reasons why we select the Easter day. And the Easter day has to do with the first full moon in spring. Ah, full moon. The cycles of the moon are predictable. They're on a natural timetable, a natural calendar. And so when we have things like the Punxsutawney Phil or the Groundhog Day experience, it's an opportunity for us to really go back and see what that very special relationship it is, the natural rhythms that we have, the so-called biological clocks that we have within us that keep time. I don't know if this is a phenomena. I know a few people that I've spoken to, this has happened to them, and it happens to me more often than not. On days that I have to wake up very early, especially when I'm traveling, I have to get up, let's say, at 5. I have to get up at 4:30 to catch a plane or something like that. I will set an alarm. More often than not, I will wake up just before the alarm. I don't know. Is that a common experience for you? It's weird to me. I set the alarm. It's like if I set it for 4:30, at 4:29, I wake up. And I'm awake, and I say, oh, the alarm hasn't gone off. And then I look over at the clock, and there it goes. And it goes off, right? Why? Because I've told myself, but, you know, let me say it this way. I've told myself I need to get up at 4:30. And so the natural rhythms inside of us, the subconscious mind, is already set and knows that 4:30 is coming and figures that out. That's how I understand this, or that's how I've interpreted this. My biological clock, my mental clock, my being clock knows that it's 4:30 coming up, wakes me up. And then the mechanical clock, it signals, it makes the ring, okay? It's interesting, because as a human being, if I have this inside of me, why would I ever set the mechanical clock? Or by mechanical, I mean the artificial clock. It could be digital or whatever. Why would I set it? If I have that alarm system built into me, and it's happened to me that I do this, why would I set it? Well, obviously because we don't trust. We don't trust the internal workings of the human self, of the being, of our biology, right? We don't trust it. I don't. Because there's always that little fear that what if I don't? wake up at 4:29. What if it is 5:30 when I wake up and the plane is getting ready to take off at 6? Oh, I missed everything, right? So we don't take chances. And what we've done is we've weakened the clock that's inside of us. There is a phenomena here in the area that I'm at, in a town called San Clemente. It's, I would say, about 50 miles south of us from Los Angeles. It's a coastal community, and you may have heard of it. There is a famous mission there. Whenever we travel down south into San Diego area, it's always a nice little stop. It's about halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego, and it's a nice little stop to just stop and kind of see what's going on over there, because there's a mission there. Now, what's special about this mission? The swallows! Every year, the swallows, they go south for the winter. They warm up. Yeah, they're smart. They don't want to stay in the cold. But on March 19, which happens to be, in the Latin tradition, happens to be St. Joseph's Day. In our tradition, it's in October, I think October 19, which just now is like hitting me that, wow, does it have to do something with, because I know March, what is it? It's March 20th or 21st happens to be the equinox, the spring equinox. And now I'm thinking, well, anyway, I'm thinking ahead of myself. I just needed that minute to put down the note. I'm going to explore this one. In the Armenian tradition, it's in October. And it's usually right around October 18 or 19. But in the Latin tradition, you've got St. Joseph's Day on March 19th. And on that day, the swallows that have gone south for the winter return to Capistrano. They return to Capistrano. And who tells them to return? And they aren't the only animals that do this. We all know the biological clocks inside of salmon, right? They have the system. They go out and they're freshwater fish. And then they go out into the ocean. They spawn. And then they finally become food for other animals, including the human animal. It's wild. I mean, think about it. It really is wild. Like, these things just naturally happen. It's called nature. It's called the timing of God. It's called the system. But we don't allow it. We don't give time for it. You know, we cover it up. We cover it up with cosmetics so that we don't have these extra smells that maybe we've been told are offensive. But that offense is subjective. That's why we say maybe, right? It's offensive to one group of people as opposed to another who might accept it. Think about things like body hair, right? One group of people, one country, it's accepted to have body hair. In another place, it isn't, and so on and so on. The way most things are, they're cultural. And as we've become a globalized society, as where there's more opportunities to interact with one another, and especially in a melting pot like the United States, where we're at, you know, you have a wide variety of cultures coming in, and people are they okay with one another? And unfortunately, this is where intolerance comes up. I don't like the way you're doing things. But there are natural rhythms that go beyond the subjective cues that we have. And that's what I'm talking about today. The clocks that we have, the clocks that are inside of us, the clocks that govern us. And the church is really one of the few places where these clocks are wound, they are organized, and they continue. And I'll tell you, it's something in our family, like, when is Bun Pareg Enton coming? It's funny because my wife Susan has been a Sunday school teacher, and it's one of the big lessons of the year. But not only the lesson is it, but we would talk on how to prepare that lesson. She would prepare it in different visuals that she would have. And I was making videos for these lessons. And by the way, there's going to be a new series coming on. Don't let me forget. End of the show today. I'm going to tell you about a new series coming up. But I would prepare these videos, and so we do it. So we kind of like got into a habit of knowing that if we knew, this is until today, if I know when Pun Barag Entan is, when I know when that first day of Lent is, I can plan out the rest of the year. Because then I know when Easter is. Then I know when Ascension is. I know when the feast of Vasladalzin, the great blessings. I know when the exaltation of the cross is. I know when Thanksgiving's coming up, and then Christmas, and then we're back into the season. So you have this whole 365 that you deal with. A 365 that you deal with because of this one date that you calculate. In fact, in the book of Joshua, it's called the Joshua Kirk. There is an actual formula for deciphering the entire year. These are wild things. They're all based on numbers. And I present them to you on today. 2-2 happens to be 2-2-23, but it's February 2nd, Groundhog Day, a day that Punxsutawney Phil came up and talked about what the weather's going to be like. So let's take a break right now. I'm going to play for you a song that I love to hear. I just love this song. It's one of my favorites. It's from Jethro Tull. It is called Dogs in Midwinter. And you can't get more groundhog than this. Enjoy.
You ever had a day like I had today? Dogs in the midwinter. find true equilibrium when you're looking at each other down the muzzle of a gun.
Dogs in Midwinter by Jethro Tull. Do you like those rhythms there? It's just such a beautiful song with the rhythms, with the words, trying to find new equilibrium. It has to do with the timings and the seasons. And yes, the dogs of Midwinter, those groundhogs. That is off of the Crest of the Nave album. I will have a link on today's show notes so you can enjoy not only this song, but all of the great music that comes out of this super band. We are talking about schedules, about time, thing that we don't like to talk about, right? Because we all complain that time goes by a little bit faster than we want. We look at an anniversary and we say, well, I can't believe it. I can't believe how much time went by. And I've had my theory about that. I think it's time is relative, with all due respect to Dr. Einstein, who talked about the relativity of time. Due respect in the thing that I know that he was talking about astrophysical time, but I think it has to do with that inner time clock that we have as well, right? And I kind of came to this idea when we celebrated my grandson's second birthday, and we looked at that 1 year between his first and the second birthday, and that's half of his life, right? It's a half of his life. And this is why when you're younger, time doesn't move fast enough. You know, it's like from 1 year to the next, it would be comparable to a 40-year-old person thinking about 20 years. It would be comparable to a 60-year-old person dealing with 30 years. It's half his or her life. And so a 2-year-old, time goes by really slow because it's just half of the life. For a 60-year-old, time is flying by because that 1 year is 1/60th, 1/60th of a lifetime. And so you're going, whoa, did that go by fast? And before you know it, you're at 61, you're at 62, you're at 63. Why? Because time is just moving by. It's the same amount of time. But the biology, the biological clock inside of you, is being influenced by the emotional and the psychological clock that you have inside of you. And these are rhythms that are set up for us. They're set up, I think, from the beginning of time, but we have somehow beat those clocks. When you think about the diseases that we have, you know, the human body is not meant to go on forever. That's a truth. That's a reality. Whether you like it or not, at some point, the human body breaks down, right? And so we keep prolonging life. And I'm very glad because, you know, we all love life. If you love life, you know, you take as much as you can. But at some point, you have to admit that it gets too much. I did a funeral just a couple days ago, a 91-year-old person, and I had the opportunity to meet with her just before her passing. And you look at the body has already started to show its wear and tear as far as the skin goes, as far as the wounds, and so on. Without getting too graphic, you all understand that it's not supposed to go. But when the body does break down and it is that final, we say, oh, what happened? It was never enough time. Why? Because life is good. If you say good riddance, then you figure out that life is bad and it's good that it's gone, right? Okay, well, that's a relative. That's a subjective way of looking at the time differences that we all experience. For some, it's slow. For some, it's not fast enough. It's fast, but not fast enough. You know, they want it even faster. I visit a convict in prison. She's been there for 15 years. And I could only imagine how slow time goes. Why? Because the anticipation of getting out and just yet one more day. For someone looking forward to something, that time is slow. It's a subjective thing, right? And so the church in its wisdom has put together this assemblage of feasts. Now you look at what's happening this coming week. This coming weekend happens to be the feast of Saint Sarkis. Now, St. Sarkis is one of those that you can argue that, you know, why do we do that? In fact, let me just tell you, this morning I was at the diocese and I was walking out when the secretary said, "Do you have a minute?" I really don't, but yeah, what's going on? She's such a sweet girl that it's hard to say no. And she says, "There's somebody on the phone wants to know about St. Sarkis." And I said, "You know, there's other priests." Said, "Well, yeah, but you're here." "All right, yeah. So I took the phone. I hate giving these history lessons. But anyway, there was some lady on the phone, and her question was this. She says, "We celebrate the feast of Saint Sarkis the Captain. Zoravar in Armenian means the strong one or the captain. He was a captain commander in the armed forces." And her question was, what part of being a commander makes him a saint? Interesting, huh? Because it's in the wording of that. And I said, there's nothing about being a commander. I said, he could have been a doctor, he could have been a lawyer, he could have been a plumber. He happened to be a member of the armed forces. And so they called him a commander or captain in the army. It's not based on his being a captain or his being a functionary in the army that he is remembered as a saint. It happens to be that he lived and died for the message of Jesus Christ. He was martyred as a witness to Jesus Christ. That's why we remember Sarkis, not because he was a captain. And we do this a lot of times by giving these false impressions to people, especially when you look at some of the iconography that goes with it. Sarkis is always shown on top of a horse. He's holding a small little guy, which is usually, I think it's his son, Mardiros, because Mardiros is also remembered on the day of Saint Sarkis. And by looking at the picture, you see that, you know, here's a warrior. You automatically, she had a very legitimate question. She had a legitimate question on the phone. And I'm glad that I took that call because I was able to explain it. And I heard, she was writing it down. I said, you know, you can search this on the internet. Also, I should tell you, I wish I had all of these facts at my on my thumbnail, but one of the most beautiful things about doing these daily messages is that I'm getting to put it down in writing, all the teachings that we've had through the years. So all of a sudden, before you know it, these daily messages are now compiling an entire section of our website and are the prelims to a book on Armenian Orthodoxy. And I just happened to have finished that chapter on Saint Sarkis. So the information was right at hand. Yeah, it was like on my thumbnail. And I was able to share it with this woman. So it was a very beautiful conversation that we had. We had a conversation about what is the reason why Saint Sarkis is remembered. But Saint Sarkis happens to come, his feast happens to come at the end of a period called the Fast of the Catechumens. And again, I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to, it's called Armadoxy for Today. And this is my daily show. And for the last four or five days, we've been going through the Fast of the Catechumens. Unfortunately, people have mistaken this fast with the fast of St. Sarkis because it happens to be the following consecutive day. St. Sarkis' feast is right after the Fast of the Catechumens. But actually, they are two separate events. And the reason I'm saying this is because the church places it as two separate events. And so in this long calendar of events and opportunities, the church has figured out the ups and downs of life, what you need in life, the balance that you need in life, and has presented it to you. So imagine if you are a family living in the pre-industrial age, and you are being guided by the cycles of the church. You know that there is a fasting period, the Fast of the Catechumens, so that it becomes a fasting period for those who are training for baptism. It also then becomes an opportunity for you to participate in their fast and be prepared for St. Sarkis. Now, in Armenian community, there are few names based on these saints that have been transferred over into the popular culture. In other words, people are named. They name their children after these saints. And one of them is Sarkis. One of them is Gregory. Another is Gevorg or George. He's also a warrior type, right? St. Gregory was the illuminator, of course. And these saints, although they're not Armenian, their names have transferred into the people. And the people love these names. And that's why you find people Sarkisian. Have you noticed that the president of Armenia, the last one that was Sarkisian, and the president before him was Sarkisian? And if you open up any kind of newspaper or news source about Armenia, you're sure to see a Sarkisian. Yeah, it's a very, very popular name among Armenians. So knowing that, and knowing that within our tradition, this Sarkis exists, wouldn't you want to know more about him? Wouldn't you want to know what makes him what makes it click? And this woman was doing exactly that. She had called up the church to find out, hey, you guys are celebrating Sarkis the warrior. What about him being a warrior makes him a saint? And I explained, nothing. Nothing about him being a warrior. It was the idea that he gave up his life for something that he believed, in a principle that he believed. And this is a difficult one for us because we're not faced with life or death situations daily. Thank God. So knowing that, what's left for us is to find out why these systems are available. Like imagine a time where you did not need your electronic clock, but can tune your life to the natural cycles of the world. And in the old world, in life before all this technology, that's what people did. It was the church that aligned their lives with these calendars. And as primitive as you may think they are tuned to the very vibration of the universe. The example I gave you a few minutes ago about the Lunar New Year and the lunar clocks and the new lunar cycles, whether, you know, I mean, when you think about the entire idea of women's menstruation, it's on this cycle that mimics the cycle of the moon. The waves of that come about, they're based on the moon's gravitational pull, right? Think about that. How people were able to measure those kind of things. And of course, there's the sad part about it too, when you have the people being called lunatics, right? Comes from the moon, that it was based on lunacy from the moon, right? And so the myths that come out about the full moon and the werewolves out there, and there's all kinds of folklore that is attached to all of this as well. Anyway, that's a discussion for another day. I'm just trying to say about the biological clocks that we somehow forget about. Now, unfortunately, things do happen in the world because we aren't attuned to these clocks. But what I'm saying is that take a look at the opportunity that's given to you through the calendar that the church gives you. One such event happens to be just this week that we're living through. It is the Fast of the Catechumens and the Feast of Saint Sarkis. And you know what? I'm just going to put a link in today's show note, make you to do some homework and check out the Armadoxy for Today webpage and check out these last few days. I think you're going to be fascinated at the messages that are coming out of that website. Now, I want to connect something here. I said a few minutes ago, thank God that we're not in this situation, but that doesn't mean others aren't. And certainly as a Christian community, and as one of the smallest Christian communities, Armenian Christians, we are under attack. And it is a Saint Sarkis kind of story. And it's not about us being warriors, but it's about us being willing to take it for Christ. This is a story that comes out of Jerusalem, and you've probably heard about it. And if you haven't, let me give you a little bit of background very quickly. On January 11th, extremists graffitied hate speech on the exterior of buildings in the Armenian quarter of the Old City. If you know Jerusalem, the Old City, one of the quarters is called the Armenian Quarter. It belongs to the Armenian Church. Slogans included revenge, death to Christians, death to Arabs and Gentiles, and death to Armenians. On January 26th, a group of about 40 Jewish extremists wearing masks and carrying flags led a coordinated attack on the Armenian restaurant near the New Gate, Jerusalem, overturning and throwing chairs and breaking bottles. They chanted slogans cursing Jesus and the Muslim prophet Muhammad. The following day, Latin Patriarch visited the restaurant owners and adjacent shopkeepers whose businesses were the target of attacks in the show of solidarity. In the evening of January 28th, two incidents occurred in the Armenian quarter. Without provocation, a Jewish man attacked a young man, Armenian man, spraying him in the face with pepper spray and hospitalizing him. Later, a group of extremists attempted to seize an Armenian flag. When challenged, they ran and encountered police. Claimed there was a terror attack. The police then drew their weapons in approaching the Armenians who had opposed the extremists. Interesting, huh? If you know anything about what's going on here in America, these kind of stories are just like a continuation of this intolerance, of this inability to work together, of racism, of separatism. And we're seeing more and more of it. Now, this one, why did I read this? Because I happen to be an Armenian Christian. This interests me. And I think it interests a lot of Armenian Christians because they are. They're one of the people. Now, to me, those of you who know what I teach and what I present here on The Next Step especially, know that this is no different than what's going on in the streets when a black person is assaulted, when an Asian person is assaulted, when a white person is assaulted. In other words, we've got to get over these labelings of people, but we can't because it's being thrown into our face. The reason why they were attacked was because they were Armenian, because they were Christian. And so we're dealing with a double battle. We want to get onto a regular field where we can play the game normally, but we have these penalties and fouls that are being thrown out at us. And we have to deal with those first before you can get back onto the field. And it's a difficult one. When I spoke about the calendar today, it was exactly for this reason. The church provides us with a means of discipline. And anybody, I don't care who they are, what profession they're in, without discipline, you can't make it. Anybody who has made it is because they've been able to take care of that discipline. Even the gambler who goes out and buys a lottery ticket loses that money if they're not disciplined. The ones that keep it are the ones that are able to discipline themselves. And you look at the sports figures today. This is one of the big problems that we have with young people. I counsel a lot of young people. Everyone is so quick. They want to move forward. They want to move quickly. They don't want to invest the time in the discipline. Look at your basketball players. Look at your sports figures, your tennis players. These people are investing time in the discipline of learning, in the discipline of being the best. I think it was Malcolm Gladwell. What's that number? 10,000? Is it 10,000 hours? He had calculated the Beatles had played 10,000 hours inside of these no-name clubs before they became famous. There's this threshold at 10,000 hours, he says. And it's the same with the basketball player who plays, or the gymnast. And it's the same in school. It's the people who are disciplined. And no matter what in life, that discipline is to be able to harness this calendar, this timetable of life. You have it naturally inside of you. God has placed it inside of you. And now the church gives you this calendar of the light of life, a calendar of the church cycle, exactly for that reason, to connect with all of this.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Epostle.net is the voice and expansion of In His Shoes Ministry. We are committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at either the inhisshoes.org website or epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Okay, very smooth, wasn't that? Yeah, there you go. There's the information that you need. Thank you, Susie. Thank you, all of you, for all of the support, the love, and the prayers that you send our way to continue this ministry. I have a couple exciting things to tell you. First of all, Giragi, Some of Sunday. This is going to start on February 26th, and you are invited. It's going to be a stream, a 15-minute little service that takes place every Sunday evening at 5 p.m., Pacific time. Now, I'll leave it up to you to figure out when it is on your calendar, but it'll be Sunday evenings beginning February 26th as Lent begins, and it'll be a chance to just get together. We'll have a song, a prayer, a message, and we have a very special message for that first one. You're going to be surprised. I'm going to share it with you probably before anybody else knows about it. So stay tuned to the Next Step. I promise you're going to love this one. Okay, you're going to really love this message. And let's see, that's coming up February 26th. We have on March 25th, we have the Reclaim Conference. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, please plan on spending it with us. If you're not in the area and you want to come down, this is the time to do it. You've got about 2 months before it's time for Reclaim. So you got enough time to get out there and make airline reservations, hotels, get in touch with me. I'll tell you right now, the Hampton Inn, this is where you got to stay, in Burbank, okay? But it's a full-day conference. This year, the topic is a voice. Reclaim a voice. The Christian voice. The Armenian church voice. The youth voice. Whatever it may be. So please, if you can, join us there. But if you can't make it physically, we will definitely have it linked up. So you'll be able to, as we have in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been able to stream it as well. So those two big things, new to epostle.net, those two big events coming up. Of course, we start Lent coming up in a couple weeks, and we invite you to participate in that with the Lenten journey. And this year we have a whole set of brand new videos that are going to be premiering again on epostle.net. That's the mothership now, okay? So go to epostle, very easy to remember. It's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's show, and you could say that it was an hour spent wisely. I look forward to being together throughout the week on epostle.net, where we have daily messages coming to you. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, my producer, and myself, this is Father Boskin. We look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding.
Off the one top visits.